Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. That's the Moby Ditka theme song that we know and love. What's up, Mark Grody?
Hi, guys. Danny, you're looking nice in your holiday. Well, it looks like a holiday sweater.
Thank you.
And Mac, you're all white socked up today.
And just garments, not necessarily a lifestyle, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
It's Friday sweatshirt day. You would call that a holiday sweater on him? That's just a standard sweater.
I got this for my birthday.
There's nothing holiday about that. It is three colors, four colors.
I like the sweater.
It's a fine sweater, but it's not a holiday sweater in the slightest.
Winter sweater. How about that? Something that one
wears. Are
there
many summer sweaters out
there, Grody? Well, now, all right. Forget I said the whole thing. What is this, pick on Mark Day?
It's a good-looking sweater is what it is. Go to Brian Gertz's video stream at watch670thescore.com, and you can comment on it yourself.
Did you meet Christina Pink last night by any chance?
I did, yes.
Did you? Is she nice?
She's very nice.
She's very excitable when she does her stand-up right before kickoff. She is just happy to be on television.
Oh, really?
My goodness.
I'll give you a quick little Christina Pink story.
So I hope you do.
Going from the sideline to the locker room, it is Christina Pink's job to interview the head coach, Matt Nagy, off mic, and then she'll share some of the information with me. Typically, that's the way it works with the sideline reporters because since it's a national game, they have that right to do that. And Nagy just sprinted right past her, and she went running, and she was breathless and couldn't get him, and she was just letting it out in the tunnel saying, "He sprinted right past me. I couldn't get him. I didn't know what to do." But then she got him going back out. So the story ended well. But it was a rough moment.
I was really worried.
I know.
I was worried for the ending.
There's a load off.
Yeah, I know.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Hey, you guys asked about Christina Pink. There it is.
I did, yes. Yeah. And now I'm glad I did. I got a little insight.
Exactly. I got more.
Better than your Barry
Sanders story. You got a second Christina Pink anecdote?
No, I'm going to. You know what? We have to pace ourselves on the Christina Pink story.
Pace.
That's right.
It is time to give credit to Pace.
What did you guys?
Tight ends are abundant.
Oh, my goodness.
The outstanding acquisition of Cordarrelle Patterson loomed large.
Oh, my goodness. J.P. Holtz.
Woof, woof, woof.
Holtz. You want to start with
we start
ends?
With whatever you want, Mr. Bears reporter.
How about we start about the biggest story of the night last night, and that was Mitchell Trubisky's ability to run the ball. 7 carries, 63 yards, a 23-yard touchdown run late in the game. And the question to Matt Nagy is, why was Mitchell Trubisky so effective running the football?
Staying in the pocket, so on some passes where he's put, instead of pushing sideways to the sideline, pushing vertical up in the pocket. They were a T-type defensive line. They do a lot of stunts. So they twist, TE, ETs, and TTs. So when that happens, you can get out of whack a little bit, and you can create lanes for the quarterback. And when you push vertical up into the pocket, you see nothing but green grass. You take off, and that's what he did a few times.
Was that more specific to Dallas and what they do, or do you want to see Trubisky do that
I would say probably a little bit of both. So when you have a defensive line that plays a lot of games and on the front line and stunts, you're going to get more of that. Now there's pros and cons to that, and trust me, they're not the only team that does that. He understands that his legs are a weapon. We don't want him to become a running back. We want him to be a quarterback that uses his legs. And I thought yesterday was a great example of that combination.
Yeah, he finally let it loose, and you know the thing that was said during Bourbon a lot by Matt Nagy, in the middle of the kickerness that was happening during Bourbon A, was we want Mitchell Trubisky to be a pass-first quarterback. And I think that Mitchell Trubisky, and I've talked about this with you guys before, somewhere in his mind, it got lost in the shuffle that it's okay if you take off.
So
it's not
you
a pass only.
You think he misunderstood the message?
I don't know if he misunderstood the message, but I think he just didn't know when he was at liberty to run anymore. Like, he sees this green grass in front of him on a scramble.
Oh, so green.
You know, and I think it took him maybe until last night to say, to hell with it, and maybe during the week. And that was part of why I asked the question. Like, where did this come from? Was this Mitchell Trubisky going to head coach and saying, I want to run more? Was this part of the game plan, as Matt Nagy admitted it was to some degree, but then he wouldn't completely concede that that was what it was about, that it was about Mitch and his instincts as well. I just don't think that in Mitch's head he has had the right mix of it's okay to run, and this is a spot where I should pass. This is a place where I should throw the football away. This is a spot where I should attempt to make a crazy pass and get it in between two defenders like he did a couple of times last night, once to Anthony Miller, once to Allen Robinson. But I use the terminology run-shamed, and I feel like that is something that a lot of quarterbacks have been through the years, that when they are run first, that everybody says, you've got to learn how to be a pocket passer and calm them. And I get it to some degree, like, injury is a real factor, but it's like you can't be a legitimate quarterback in this league unless you are a pocket passer. At least that seems to be what a lot of coaches were putting out there. And maybe Lamar Jackson has had something with changing that as well, because they're allowing him to be him, and I think that was Mitch being Mitch last night.
And it sparks the Ravens when he prospers, as it sparked the Bears last night. It sent a jolt of electricity through their entire offense when he moved the chains with five first down runs.
The play that the players loved the most was the 23-yard touchdown run. Like, they were going crazy down on the sideline. Trubisky was smiling. I hadn't seen him smile pretty much all year. He was smiling.
He was laughing at that defensive back's terrible effort at a tackle. 25. Oh, was that lame.
Yeah, he put it
right down, fella.
Yeah, exactly. But he that did bring smiles to the players on the Bears. And I think that Bears players probably, to some degree, too, have been wondering, where has that been? The offensive line has been, the much maligned offensive line all year, is probably like, why the hell aren't you running? Why are you taking the sack? Why are you throwing it there? So it makes everything look and feel better when Mitchell Trubisky is being Mitchell Trubisky, and that means running the football more.
It's interesting that you said that you haven't really seen Mitch smiling much. Have you noticed this change in his sideline demeanor over the last few games?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I try to, whenever there's a score, I try to take it all in terms of what the reactions are of all the players. And one thing that I've not seen through the helmet of Mitchell Trubisky this year is a lot of smiles. Usually it feels like when there is a scoring drive or there's a score, it's a relief. It's like, okay, we got it.
Right.
We got
He's
one.
Like the fans.
Yeah, we got one. We had to have that.
Ooh,
yeah,
ooh.
Jesus. Right. It's
that's
like, okay, woof. You know, get down to the red zone. That's good enough for us. Maybe not score. But yes, I have noticed that there is, players always talk about fun and this is football, but they're, you know, half the time they're not having fun. They're working out there. And I have noticed that the offense looks like, and specifically to the question of Mitchell Trubisky, more Trubisky than anybody, he looked like he was having fun. And for the last 2 weeks, I've seen the smile on his face.
I don't think that these guys are the long-term answer at tight end, but it was nice to see production from that position, which is necessary in this offense in particular. What did we learn about the Bears tight ends yesterday and today?
J.P. Holtz last night, 3 catches, 56 yards, had that catch and run of 30 yards, leading ultimately to one of Allen Robinson's 2 touchdowns on the night. Jesper Horsted, 4 catches, 36 yards. So everybody has been asking.
Yeah.
I love Horsted, man. He followed up last week's game. Horsted. Everybody's been asking that question, though. Who are these guys, and what might they have in these two tight ends?
You want to be able to have production from your tight ends. They help out in the run game. You saw that last night. And then they help out in the pass game in certain areas. All tight ends are different. J.P. Holtz is different from some other U-style tight ends, but he's being able to play both. It's just a benefit when you don't always have to throw to wide receivers.
Did you feel at all that with Shaheen not being productive and with Burton being hurt, that did you maybe kind of go into a little bit of a shell as far as using the tight end? Was that any bit of a revelation what you got out of those guys?
It's probably a little bit of just the unknown and not knowing what you have with the other guys, just because of, you had Jesper who we didn't know anything about. We had him in preseason a little bit here there, didn't get a lot of reps with the ones until recently. And then J.P. Holtz, who comes in, right there at the kind of after the first quarter of the season, you don't know exactly what you're getting from them. They're new to the offense, let alone their skill set. So I think now we're kind of getting an idea of what their strengths and weaknesses are, and we're trying to feed off of their strengths.
Here's what I got out of that, guys, and you can tell me what you guys got. Matt Nagy has no idea what he has in these two guys.
Well,
he
wasted a lot of time not finding out, too. He's just unveiling them now. We're in week 14.
Well, exactly. But I guess to some degree, if you have a guy that's on your roster, Mac, let's just use Jesper Horsted.
Right.
He's an undrafted guy, a guy who was a receiver at Princeton, a guy who did not know what the U tight end meant when he came to the Bears, that he was transformed this year in Bourbonnais, like going back and forth, deciding what he wanted to do. Do I want to stick with the Bears and learn this new position that I have to be to play in the NFL, or do I want to still be a wide receiver? So I kind of don't blame Nagy for not having any idea what he had in this guy. And then J.P. Holtz, he came along, let's face it, because of the run game. He was pretty.
Wait, do we even
there.
Consider him a tight end, or just because he wears 84? I mean, he's a blocker.
Called him an H-back 20 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, he blocks.
He's an ultra back. He's Raymond Harris. Put a number 29 on his back. But no, that's a great question. Like, what is he ultimately? And I have no idea. I mean, do you guys expect J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted to be a big part of next year's team?
No, they could be. They could be in training camp.
They'll be in training camp, yes. But, I mean, this is still a position, and I think you could kind of hear it in Matt Nagy's very nonspecific answer, that this is a position that they have a lot of work to do still in the offseason. Who knows about Trey Burton? I mean, I feel like we've left him for dead. Obviously, he hasn't done what he was supposed to do in his time with the Bears. His first year was decent. This year has been bad, mostly because of injury. So who knows if he comes back, but it's still a position they have to address. But it was fun. It has been fun to watch these two guys thrive in this offense for 2 weeks at least.
And then I know Matt Nagy also, and you wanted to get into how these – it's a complimentary game, and how one side of the ball was helping the other.
Right, exactly. And Nagy went out of his way, because so much of the conversation last night and then today at his press conference in Lake Forest was about the offense. So Nagy started with the other side of the football.
And then I don't want to also take away from our defense how proud I am of them and the fact that throughout this whole season, they've played really lights out all year long. And not one time did they ever criticize or start pointing fingers to the offense for not producing early on. And now what's happening is you're seeing three phases come together and we're winning. And so that part is what I take from it. But getting back to the quarterback part with Mitch is, it's number one, it's not easy. The human element of going through what he's gone through, but you're seeing right now a kid that is playing with conviction. He's playing with a lot of determination. He's playing with a lot of trust. Guys are trusting him. And we're winning, so you get confidence. All that said, no one's satisfied, and I think that's what's powerful in all this thing is that we know there's more, and that's why we're still hungry.
And I think that I heard you guys talking about Mitch and whether you pick up that option or if you still think that there's a high ceiling for him. I think it's okay to say still on Mitchell Trubisky. Nobody likes this answer. It's still okay to say, I don't know, because I don't know what that was last night. Was that the real Mitchell Trubisky against what is a relatively good defense with talented players? Like, seeing the full arsenal of Mitchell Trubisky, was that him the last 2 weeks, or was it more what he was earlier this year? Is it somewhere in the middle? I don't know. No, seriously. Isn't it okay to say, I don't know? I
think sure.
You feel
sure.
Like you know, Mac,
sure.
Don't you?
I'm not betting on him. I hate to say it today because he played terrific last night, and I think it should be a day where Bears fans feel good about their team and their quarterback. Do I want him see him here in 2-3 years? No, I don't. I don't think he'll be good enough.
And I think what is the beauty of taking a quarterback where they took him is we don't have to make the decision on 2-3 years from now, right now.
Like, correct.
He's under club control,
right?
If you want it to be, for what? 4 more years, right? Because next year is year four. He's cheap that year. That's 2020. 2021 is the 5th year option.
Not so cheap.
Not so cheap, but you can get
out. But only 1 year.
But only 1 year. And then, depending on how it all goes, you could franchise tag him 2 times. If you wanted to do the Kirk Cousins thing, you could have Mitch Trubisky under 1 year of control guaranteed for the next 4 seasons after this one. Now, that's obviously a very outlier type of way to go about it. That's not the goal. The goal is to have clarity on what he is, sign him to a long-term contract so that you can manage the cap and be flexible. But there's absolutely no rush to commit Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff type dollars to Mitch Trubisky.
So it becomes extremely interesting then to watch these final 3 games and what Trubisky is. When the team can tell itself, at least, or at least feel like they're still in contention for the playoffs, even though that's still going to be a really difficult task, at least because I was worried that the lights were going to be off and we were going to have Mitchell Trubisky quarterbacking. Maybe he would play really well when the shine is not there as much. At least
no, the games matter.
Completely relevant for a little while longer. So I think you can go back to scouting these games and maybe putting the conclusions on hold for the rest of the season.
There was a lot of dysfunction on the Dallas sideline last night. Jalen Smith, I think, was throwing a bottle of water at an assistant coach. It looked like it. They had the replay of it. It just the guy's back was doing it, and they didn't really follow up on it. Jason Witten was yelling at people. What was it like on the Bears sideline after that 9-minute drive? 17 plays, 9 minutes, and the Cowboys stuff it in.
Early on, it was so much confusion. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is going on? Coaches trying to figure things out. And it was stunning because it was like last week against Detroit where they get the early bomb. And it's just sort of like we've become accustomed to not seeing the Bears give up those big plays and those big drives. And for 2 straight weeks, they've been horrible starts for the team. So there's a lot of head shaking. And one of the things that Nagy talked about at halftime to Christina Pink and then to me was that the defense usually Nagy doesn't talk about defense, but the fact that the defense overcame that horrible stand that they had where it looked like, oh boy, here we go. Like Dallas is doing whatever, like 6 runs, 6 passes. They were doing whatever they wanted to do on that drive. It looked like it was going to be an Ezekiel Elliott night, like Mac, like we talked about the other day. But the defense did adjust. So there's just a lot of coordinators going crazy, basically, on the sideline. That's really what it comes down to, and assistant coaches.
All right, so I haven't heard this audio yet, but you said that you had a Chris Farley moment with Mike Singletary. And I love Chris Farley moments, and I love any moment involving you in awkwardness on Bears
it's
radio.
It's a little awkward, yeah.
So
cannot play with him.
Here is Mark Grody.
Cannot coach with him.
WBBM.
Cannot win with him.
With Mike Singletary.
Can't do it.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary. Mike, and I see you standing here. What are you thinking when you come back to Soldier Field? Does it all come back to you?
It's a lot of memories being out here, being on the grass, getting ready for a game. It's pretty exciting.
What do you think of Roquan Smith?
You know, I think he's a young linebacker, young up-and-coming guy that's playing really hard and discovering how you play the game. But I think he's doing a great job.
I have to bring up one play. I think the best play that I ever saw you make, the Eric Dickerson stop in the NFC title game that year. Is that top five on your list?
Well, it's definitely the year we went to the Super Bowl. It was part of the journey, so obviously it's going to be pretty high. But it was a great game for us.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai Mike Singletary.
Yep, great job there.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. Is that what I sound like on the radio?
Remember that time when the snow was coming down in Soldier Field? And
that was awesome.
Do you remember that?
That was awesome.
Do you know Otis Wilson?
Yeah, I do.
Awesome. Do you remember the
That's
Super Bowl?
Great.
Did you guys Super Bowl and Shuffle?
I mean, I'm sorry. I can't apologize. Like 12-year-old me was there. Like, I don't get starstruck except by players that I looked up to when I was 12 years old. Like, if Dave Kingman walked into the studio right now, I'd be like, oh, my God, it's Dave Kingman. And I wouldn't know what to do.
Good. Did you know when you were 12 he was the third best linebacker on their team?
You know what?
troll.
I figured it out, Mac. And I actually did. Like, I didn't have the heart to tell 50 this last night. But
I
liked 58 and 55 better.
That year, they were better.
Because they were kind of headhunted. Hunters, which was awesome, you know? So Otis Wilson coming soon on a sideline near you.
Remember that time when you guys played Dallas in 85 and Steve Fuller quarterbacked him and you were on the cover of SI 44-0? Remember that?
I did talk about that game with Jay Hilgenberg and Tom Thayer beforehand.
Look at you.
Yeah. Yep. You know.
He's got a little Barney Fife in him. I talked to him.
You know me. One little nugget here, some investigating that I need to do. On Kevin Pierre-Lewis. He left the locker room last night wearing a Blackhawks jersey with the name Daly on the back, and it made me wonder, is that a Trevor Daly Blackhawks jersey, the defenseman who was here for 1 year? I will look into it and see what I can find. Do you guys remember?
I'm glad you got that in.
Do you remember Trevor Daly? I thought maybe.
I was going to ask you how big the drop-off is from 58 to 57, but now that I know he might be a hockey fan, I completely couldn't care less about.
Hey, here's the thing about 57. He's fast. Like, you could see there's some real speed in that guy. We'll see if it continues to be football speed, which it was. Nick Kwiatkowski has comported himself well. So, of course, you want Danny Trevathan back in there. You want Roquan. They are much better linebackers. But who knows for three games? We shall see.
Do you expect Akeem Hicks to play against the Packers?
I do expect him to play. And as for Danny Trevathan, I asked Danny, I said, every week the Bears say you are week to week. Are you going to return and play this year? And he just smiled and kept walking. And I'm walking with him. I'm doing the reporter walk with him. And I said, well, do you think you're going to play? And he just kept smiling and walking. So I don't know what that means, if that's his.
No.
No, I didn't necessarily take that as no. Do you take that as no? A smile?
No, I don't. I mean, I think he's
messing with me.
I think he's toying with you.
He's messing with me a little bit?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. But yeah, Hicks, I'd be really surprised if Hicks didn't play, barring any sort of setback that he may have in the next few days.
Okay. Good stuff.
Good stuff, Moby Ditka.
Guys.
Bears.
Feels better to say it.
Yeah, it does.
Right now, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
The whole Bears thing, you know, it was waning for a while, but Bears.
Later. Eddie Jackson will be on the show at 5 o'clock. We have some time to talk to you on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, 312-644-6767. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Pass is caught here. Ridley, who makes the catch, his first. He lost his shoe on his first catch in the NFL. A gain of 5.
Riley Ridley, who, just has not been afforded a lot of opportunity. Fourth round pick, and he's over there on the sidelines putting his shoe back on.
I lost my shoe.
Gotta have a pair of them.
Especially if you're in the Pine Barrens episode of Sopranos, like Paulie Walnuts when he lost his shoe in the snow there. Got cold. Start eating ketchup packets.
Yeah, you don't want when you're like Shep. He doesn't like it when his feet wet.
No, I hated it.
Neither does Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah, they were
mix it with the relish, Danny.
That's, you got to mix it, Chrissy. They're not coming for us. But yeah, they almost turned against each other there in one of the most iconic Sopranos episodes ever. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball has third-ranked Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena December 18th. Tip-off set for 7. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. This segment brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. Don't let holiday bills keep you from needed car repairs. Amco's easy pay plans will let you get your car back on the road right now. Search AAMCO today for a location near you. Ian Rappaport reporting that Javon Wims' injury is just a sprain, not considered serious. Don't have an update from the Bears yet on if he'll be available against the Packers. But we finally saw, don't call me Riley Reed, Riley Ridley.
And, you know, I don't know if every Bears fan is going to have this experience, but I always will remember where I was when Riley Ridley caught his first NFL pass because I didn't get out of the truck because I didn't want to turn off Tom Thayer because he was upset with the shoeless nature of the first-year wide receiver.
Trubisky moves Montgomery to his left, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, throws it left side on the numbers, pass is caught, receiver on the far side. Riley Ridley lost his shoe as he tried to plant, Tom. Rookie makes his first NFL catch and loses his shoe.
You know, you got to tie your shoes tighter. There's no way, shape, or form anybody should have any type of shoe that's loose enough on their foot where they can run out of it. There's always a way of adding some tape to the outside of your shoe that makes the shoe fit even tighter, and gosh, losing a rep because you've run out of your shoe is...
But he does pick up 5 at his first NFL catch.
He was mad.
Yes, he was.
Just so disappointed.
He was. But you know what? I haven't thought about it before, but he's right. Your shoe always should be tight enough where you can't run out of it.
I get the same.
Yeah.
Who throws a shoe?
I don't know if I've seen that before where a guy just runs out of a shoe. I suppose it's happened.
Yeah, that's happened.
Every now and again, you lose a shoe in the trenches, but...
Yeah, without getting stepped on the heel or something, just
in
to
no
come
way,
out of
shape,
it.
Or form should that happen.
He was indignant there.
What other form could it happen?
No, just in that form. Yeah, that's really
in that form, right?
Yeah, that's the only form.
Is that the old Soldier Field turf monster coming up to bite you? Is that why the shoe...
Now, point of thumb. That's on Riley Ridley.
That's been very quiet. The turf stuff has been pretty
Riley
quiet.
You think Riley Ridley didn't tie his shoe tight, though?
That's...
You think that like he just went
I
out there
evidence.
With like the Darnard Robinson thing and didn't tie his shoes? Like
how would the turf get Riley Ridley's shoe and no one else's shoe?
Just by chance. I don't know. Like a freakish thing happened one time.
Some texters are suggesting several people lost shoes last night, including Cordarrelle Patterson.
And
Michael Gallup lost a shoe.
Oh, okay, Shep.
He also lost a pass.
Okay, Shep. Now you got multiple data points, Mr. Bears pre and post. Okay.
I haven't heard anything about the field. That's a story that has quelled quite a bit these last couple of years. Maybe they finally...
Should we get Moby Ditka back in here and ask him if the field is taking
care
of
this? They finally met Roger Bossard's price because a few years ago they didn't want to pay him. Maybe they secretly have hired him.
So what would it be with the field? It's sticky?
Is it harder? Like, is it your cleat simply gets caught a little bit more and you're moving so fast or a big body's moving with that much force and it rips your shoe right off your foot? I don't know.
He came in for Wims, right? That's why he was in the game?
Yeah.
So I think he didn't have his shoes tied. Like, I'm going
to
be in this game.
Wasn't expecting to play? That's probably what it was.
I assume so also.
So you think he just like standing on the sidelines like, you know, I'm going to undo my shoes?
No,
undone.
Just not have them ready for the game.
Just a casual tie.
Are you just going to run out? Like you're just going to run out of the locker room and not tie your shoes tight?
If you're not going to play because you're going to tighten them up so tight. It's just like, you know, other sports where you're going to play like the tension on a ski. Molly Bloom taught us that in Molly's game.
Yeah.
She sets hers all the way up to it's essentially welded to her boot.
I'm really glad we're having this conversation. Because
ask Eddie.
Well, we can ask Eddie about it, but also, as Peoria Matt points out, it might have just been slippery over there. It's possible. It's a good point.
Me and Jiggets, what's up, Bears tomorrow? Whoops, we had a little accident here.
Let's help her up, guys. Give her help. And you know what? I hope she's okay. It's slippery over there.
Oh, man.
It's possible. Absolutely possible that's what happens.
I love Peoria Madness playing to the whistle, to the echo of the whistle, even on a Friday.
That's right. Yeah, he's there for us. He's helping the content.
It's the shadow of the whistle, not the echo.
Yeah, that's right.
That was slippery over there.
Oh, man.
My contribution to the Malaprop folder this year.
God, we didn't really postscript Wani because we went right into Who Do You Love and then Grody, but so coachy. I just want to hold a pad, and I'm giving him
a
whistle.
A bag. See if I can hold a bag.
I just want to hold a bag, and I gave him some whistles. Okay. You're coaching, coach.
I can imagine a couple of things. I can imagine how he has to look at it when he walks out there and sees guys who don't have a fraction of his experience. And I also can look at it from their perspective, having a former NFL head coach looming over their practices.
I'm thinking of it from their perspective, Mo. Yeah. I can relate to them more than I can to him. But, yeah, just the idea of, like, I'm coaching 12-year-olds. I just want to be around my kid. And then there's Dave Wanstead over here.
He is correct in suggesting they all ought to have a whistle.
At any level,
why do you not have a whistle? You got to have a whistle.
Seems like they should have a whistle. But speaking of Cordero Patterson, that guy is I've outlawed myself from saying that word, but what an awesome athlete. That juke move that he put for the yards after the catch.
Yes.
I heard, Shep, it was with you last night, right? That I heard this driver. Big Cat said it made him think about, imagine if they would have been able to get Devin Hester the ball as a receiver.
Instead
that was a great
Devin Hester could have remembered the hot color.
Yeah. Instead of trying to make him a number one receiver, just get the ball in his hands and see what he can do.
It was a great point, and I totally understood why he was thinking it. Like, Cordero, when this offense was really struggling and it was just Allen Robinson and no one else, we see what Patterson can do on a kick return. Figure out the way to get that guy the ball.
Cordero Patterson has been shy of breathtaking, but a revelation. Yeah. I mean, they
got what they paid for.
Certainly. He's one of the fastest guys in the league. It was a great hire. I thought it was a pretty good hire. I didn't know he was going to be this involved. I don't think they probably expected him to be as involved as he has been.
Well, he should be a Pro Bowler on special teams. The guy is just
top kickoff return team. Yeah.
A returner, a gunner, a willing tackler. He's tough. Like, he takes on linebackers when he runs down the field on coverage. Like, he is. That is a big, strong man.
Yes.
That's not a shifty running back that made that move last night. That dude, 6'3", 6'4",
right,
and a house. Like, that was absurd.
And gets his pad level way down there with the rest of them.
It was cool to just see some great individual, like that play, the Anthony Miller play, which was just, like, he seemed like he had just the nose for the end zone stereotype. Then Khalil Mack diving and catching Dak Prescott.
I'm waiting for you to bring up the big one.
Well, I mean, I've been patient. Was a nice play.
I know. There was a huge play from someone you haven't mentioned yet that Tanny was all over on Twitter last night.
I should be the first one to mention it since it seems like everybody always points to me as his biggest critic. He hit the quarterback three times last night.
Oh.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's nice. That's what you do.
I was talking about our guy J.P. Holtz.
J.P. Holtz.
All week long. What did I say on the program here?
Tanny, you couldn't shut up about it.
I know. You leave him uncovered, he's going to burn you every time.
That's in the scouting report.
J.P. Holtz running free in the Dallas secondary.
That was a very nicely designed play, though.
I loved it.
Blockers everywhere.
Did you guys notice what that was? It was a screen pass. They do exist. It's like that scene in Jurassic Park.
Right.
Oh, my God.
They exist, and they can be executed. It's who knew?
I was waiting for a flag. I was like, someone must have been tripped or held, like, because they haven't had a good screenplay all year.
Anyone who grew up watching the Bears just waits for a flag on every touchdown. I don't know if that's just me, but
yes.
I guess all of us.
Yeah, it's like, someone must have cheated somewhere. Were there 13 guys on the field? What's happening here?
I hate to pick nits with you, but Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park didn't say they do exist. He said they do travel in herds.
They do travel in herds.
Yeah,
no, I appreciate that. Yeah. They do travel in herds. That's a good point.
That's all right.
What about a Ted? When they do the Jurassic Park scene, what does he say there? When the
Jurassic Park scene?
When they find the field of weed and they play Jurassic Park theme. It's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Ted 2, Danny, idiot.
Yeah, sorry. Right. My bad. Ted 2.
And what does Ted say?
But he says
you hear the music. The music is playing it. They're looking at it.
Yeah, they're looking at the field. It's the Jurassic Park.
It's a dinosaur.
Amanda Seyfried says, no words. No words.
There we go. All right.
I don't
remember. Get to the bottom of War Dogs thing yet?
The Afghan deal.
The Afghan deal.
Yeah, the Afghan deal.
Yeah, yeah. Glad we did that yesterday.
Me too. Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts of a complicated show.
Thank you, one and all, for showing up yesterday.
That was fun.
At Tavern in the Park. We had a good time.
We will be at the iconic Brat Stop 1 week from today. All day broadcast with our sister station from Milwaukee. It's going to be a good time.
Should we put Buck Winkler on with us on Friday? I've been thinking about this. Not because we really want to talk to him, but just so he has to sit at the Brat Stop from his morning show getting done at 9 a.m. all day to go on with us at like 4 o'clock and be like, all right, Bart, thanks for your time.
So we can't even put him on at 2:30. We've got to put him on.
Put him on like later on.
Not at the 5 o'clock hour, obviously. But
sure.
4:00.
Like 4:45 or so. Bart, come tell us about the Packers. All right, thanks for spending literally 12 hours at the Brat Stop with us today.
They do exist is the M&M commercial. Boom, with the Jurassic Park music, and they have the new brand of M&M's with Super Bowl.
Thank you. Shep, to your question, I think of Bart as a Brewers guy, but if you want to have Milwaukee Shep show up at the Brats.
You think you can book him?
The bar crawl with you.
Yes, that would be cool. That would be good.
That'd be great.
Do we have any hangout friends from the Milwaukee sports station?
I don't know.
I don't know if...
Leroy Butler going to tear up the town with you?
I asked Mitch yesterday. Leroy's going to be out there, I'm pretty sure.
Let's put him on.
Doing a show.
I don't know whose show he's going to be on yet. Yeah, we got to lock that down.
Oh.
Just like he's locked down.
Jesus.
He's going to teach us how to Lambo leap as way on out of the state. He'll be on
Tanny
and
open mic
was
one of the best decisions we ever made. This guy is just dropping gems about J.P. Holtz all week long.
Yeah, he was.
He gets a couple things right.
Got an 81 jersey coming for Christmas.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, if you guys listened on those J.P. Holtz prop bets that we had going on.
Just gear it up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's when he really shines. Eddie Jackson at 15 minutes. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
It's chicken. I like fried chicken.
Oh, we love fried chicken, especially when it comes from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. It's the hidden gem on the menu. Joe's Fried Chicken features a half chicken dredged in seasoned flour and then dipped in egg wash and a secret cracker meal coating before being deep fried to a golden crisp. Joe's is at 60 East Grand Avenue, right there at the corner of Grand and Rush. They'll help you out for your tailgate, your holidays, of course, the famous stone crab claws, but the chicken is amazing.
The chicken was a big mover today. We were happy to share our chicken with anybody who was hungry. It's delicious, and it's warm, fresh protein, but what really is going to make this meal for me, I'm going to take a piece of coconut cream pie home tonight.
Their desserts are absurdly good.
I got a fresh batch in the garage around 9:30. Patrick goes to bed. I'm going to blaze up, and I'm going to have some coconut cream pie. That's a plan for a Friday night.
That'll work.
Chickens come home to roost.
The chicken's going to come home to roost.
We didn't work on Black Friday, so we haven't had Victory Chicken as a show in a while.
Was there chicken here Friday on Black Friday? I'm not even sure if there was.
I don't know. None of us. There was?
Chicken says there was.
Good.
Awesome.
I didn't want Will Perdue to go Victory Chickenless.
They must have been surprised, confused. Will Perdue's like, wait, chicken shows up? Yeah, every
chicken?
Day.
Wow. They get chicken too, huh?
He's going to get into Sports Talk Radio.
9 or 10 times a year. We get chicken.
This year, 8.
12 last year.
That's
this
true.
Year, we'll get 8 or 9, maybe.
Yeah. What do you think they finish with?
So they're
7-6.
You know,
after
my prediction yesterday of the Bears getting pasted by the Cowboys, I don't know. Green Bay is not special. I promise you, I don't think they're special defensively. And now that the Bears seem to have a desire and an aptitude suddenly, dare I suggest, to run the football, that bodes well for them against the Packers.
It does. Listen, the schedule's really tough. And if they get eliminated before the end of the season, it seems like the motivation will be to play spoiler. What they have going for them is, I don't expect them to pack it in. Like, even if they are eliminated before week 17, or it's possible they could be by week 16, I think this team's playing hard for Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I think they are too. They played real damn hard last night. They were terrific last night, and they survived a brutal start. I mean, though, after that 17-play drive that took almost 9 minutes, I just thought, this is exactly what I was expecting it to look like. And the Cowboys didn't have another drive until the fourth quarter that was substantive, it didn't seem.
It was odd, man. Like, they just went away. It wasn't just completely going away from Zeke, but it was they'd have a negative play or a zero play, and then Dak couldn't get into a rhythm until it was blowout territory. A lot of three and outs for Dallas after that first drive.
Well, then the Mitch interception on the first drive. After Dallas goes and does that to you, Bears look like they're answering, look like they're responding, and then whatever that interception was right in front of the end zone, you're like, oh, God. Here it comes, 99 yards. Zeke Elliott's going to get about 70 of it, and it's going to be 14-0, and this thing's going to be damn near over. And instead, three and out later, tie game later, voila, Bears are rolling.
And you know, the thing with Mitch on that interception was, it was obviously an awful throw, and I'm not even 100% sure who he was throwing to, if it was Wims or Robinson.
Troy Aikman was guessing also.
It was odd.
Like, texters are already on my case over the Soldier Field thing, but I honestly think this might be true. Did Mitch Trubisky see a blue jersey, or three of them in this case, and it just, he messed up and threw it there? Because it's like, oh, that's our guy. We're at home. Oh, wait. Because there's not a Bear in sight.
Dude, I love your
theories. Did he confuse it? Honestly, there's
he forgot what color jersey he was wearing?
Like, there's no logical explanation when you watch that play.
It's still not my favorite throw of the night, though.
Which was?
Dak with the wheel route to the guy who's not looking.
That was a fun throw.
That was classic.
That was a fun throw.
Keep going, 49. Just keep going.
Did you see Kwiatkowski? Kwiatkowski's trailing in coverage.
The ball's over there. Yeah,
he's pointing at the ball.
Dude, stop making me run.
Why are we still doing this?
That was funny. Yeah, and there were a couple of skippy balls from Dak Prescott, too. Man, it's hard. You see that last night, and you think, how in the F does this guy lead the NFL in passing yards? As inaccurate
Bum
as
slang.
He was.
Beat the Giants twice, Washington, Miami.
But still, that's pretty. Yeah, I know he's played, but he's also played some good teams and lost, but that's still impressive, even though you got a few lousy teams on your schedule, to be leading the league in passing yards, and that's the guy who leads the league? Really?
I know. I'm telling you, I don't think he's special. I think he's good. I think he's fine. I think he's replacement level in a great situation, so his numbers get inflated. Eddie Jackson seemed to be Mitch Trubisky's biggest cheerleader last night. He got to get matched up one-on-one, actually, a couple of times with his ex-Bama teammate, Amari Cooper, and he was leading the celebration in Club Dub. We'll talk to number 39 about it all next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.